Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Reach up, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Time to talk football. 45 minutes with Coach Dave McGinnis. Love having him on. And if you want to weigh in, you can always do that. He loves to take your questions. Dave McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it.
Coach Mack has the best hair in the market. I don't know how you don't have a hair deal along with this.
You know what? Let me just say this about my hair. I did nothing to get it. I did. You just wake up, walk out the door. I just woke up. I did nothing to get it like this. I mean, it's just very fortunate genetics.
Yeah, you and Michael McDonald.
And there you have it.
What's up? How are you?
Good. I'm good.
7 points in the last 10 quarters.
Not enough. Yeah. Not enough. And you know, Mike Vrabel made the decision he had to make.
Yeah.
I mean, it was you know, he had to make it at the time when he made it during the Denver game. I mean, I've been a head coach. I've been faced with these types of decisions. And you have to make it, and really, it's not about your personal feelings. I mean, you have personal feelings for your players. I mean, I probably got as close to my players. Mike Vrabel's close to his players. I mean, Bill Belichick. But in this business, it is you have to make decisions based on production and based on what you feel like is best to help you going forward. And that's just, I mean, there's nothing really personal about it. And I know that's trite. I know that's cliche, but it's the truth. And you don't really ever realize it to the nth degree until you're in those positions. I've been in those positions. I've made those types of decisions, and you have to make them for the good of your entire football team and your entire football, everything surrounding it.
I thought about a couple things you tell us. Number one, every day is an interview when you're in the National Football League. Every day, every game, every minute, every practice, it's all an interview.
It is an interview, and that's for coaches and players and everybody that's involved in it, because it's a business where the bottom line is you've basically got 3 hours and 13 minutes on every Monday, Sunday, or Thursday, and then you're judged, you know, strictly on what goes on with that. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing as far as just the dichotomy between winning and losing as far as to how it affects a lot of lives.
And the other thing that I thought, and you said this is the first thing Mike Singletary ever told you, you said, what can I do, Mike? How do I coach you? And you said, first thing he said was, always tell us the truth and be honest with us. And I thought about that. Mike Vrabel had to be honest with a couple of guys yesterday afternoon when he told them what's going on.
He has to be honest with them, and he has to be honest with his football team. Yeah. He has to be honest with his team, because everything is laid out in the National Football League locker room. I mean, it's all out there, and you know it. And in the building, I mean, you've got 65 guys in there, but they've all got the common goal, and they've all got the common aspirations. They've only got a short career to get it done in, and you've got, I mean, it's everybody knows it's big corporation, it's massive money. There's a lot of things that are involved in it, but at the end of the day, it's an emotional game. It's emotional for the fans, but it's production based. It's production based, and if you ever start making your decisions based on anything other than production, well, then you're getting off track.
Professional sports is the ultimate meritocracy, right? I mean, you play because you deserve to be out there, and you give me the best chance to win, right? So what's interesting to me about it is there are 53 guys in the locker room plus the practice squad guys that all have opinions, and they all have relationships, and they all have bonds. They do have that desire to win, as you said, because ultimately people want to get paid, but they play the game because they want to win the championship, right? And so they know – that the decision that the head coach is making is not an easy one necessarily, but it's one to help the team win.
Well, absolutely. And believe me, to a man, they've all got Marcus's back.
Yep.
Just like they've all got Ryan Tannehill's back, because those are your guys. Those are your guys, and that's what you go with. And they all have empathy for it, and they all understand, but they also know that the decision was not an easy one for the head coach to make. It's not an easy one for the organization to make. But the decision is made, and now you have to move forward because you need to win a game. You need to win a game.
It was hard to watch Marcus go through that on Sunday. The pass that really stuck. I mean, the out route to Delanie Walker, you know, a lot of, you know, you'll hear analysts, and I've heard analysts say NFL quarterback can make that pass with his eyes closed. The out route to Corey Davis that he threw behind him and in the dirt. The screen pass that he threw 800 miles an hour to Derrick Henry that went off his hands. The one that really got me, though, was the about an 8-yard pass to Henry that he didn't get it close enough to Derrick to where Derrick could even touch the ball. It was hard to watch.
Well, no, he was – I mean, he was struggling. Yeah. He was struggling. But, you know, Marcus is an NFL quarterback, and he's been a good NFL quarterback at times.
That's
but,
right.
But the key is – the key to all of this in the National Football League, because you only get so many chances, it's consistency. It's consistency and knowing what to expect and knowing how. I mean, and again, Marcus is a good NFL quarterback. He has been. Right now, he's struggling, and so they're going to try somebody else.
There are times, Coach. Again, Dave McGinnis hanging out with us until 3 o'clock. There are times where you'll see a team, and maybe the backup is not necessarily a similar guy to the starter, and so you think, gosh, they're going to. And I'll give you an example. Jacoby Brissett at one point had to play for the Patriots. I think his rookie year, he was number three, and they got down to him, and they ran the ball with him 12 or 13 times that day, which I think I had to go back 3 years to find that many runs for Brady.
Right.
So he was a different guy that they had on the roster. These guys are pretty similar. This offense can look a whole lot the same with these guys playing quarterback.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, during this decision year, that's why they went out and made the move to bring Tannehill in here.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got an NFL starter that started 88 games in the National Football League, has had his share of success and non-success, just like what happens to most of these guys in the league, unless you get into an elite category. And still, I mean, we've seen Tom Brady right now is the one everybody holds up, you know, as the epitome of what's going on with a quarterback. Well, we saw him being made to look very human out here at Nissan Stadium last year. You know, so, I mean, but they brought somebody in here that they felt like if something were to happen, you know, either injury-wise or non-performance-wise, that they would be able to, you know, to go to him and go and progress, hopefully, to win football games. And so that's what they did.
Well, the hope at that time and what we all thought was this is certainly the best backup situation this team has had in years and arguably the best backup situation in the league.
I think it is. And I mean, if you're just talking about the Titans in particular, I mean, that, you know, to me, I mean, you know, like Neil O'Donnell was a great backup.
Yeah.
Great backup quarterback because he's a starting quarterback. Okay. And it's the same way with Kerry Collins. When we brought Kerry Collins in here, we brought Hasselbeck in here. I mean, those guys had been starting quarterbacks and were still legitimate quarterbacks. So if something did happen, you know, to your starter that you felt like you could just go and continue on forward.
Right.
And I agree with you, Mickey, this is the same situation.
GreatShow powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Dave McGinnis with us, courtesy of Farm Bureau Health Plans. Let's go to the phones like we said we would. Let's go to Kenny in the borough who will lead us off in this segment. Thanks, Kenny, for calling.
Hey, guys.
Coach, Kenny. Mac,
thanks for taking my questions here. I'll be short and sweet.
Sure,
I was up in Denver on Sunday, and one question after watching Marcus struggle mightily in that first half: why did Coach Vrabel not start the second half with Tannehill to light a fire? Because when he did come in, I was kind of impressed with the way he stood in the pocket. It seems like he sees above the line more so than Marcus does. However, they still need to fix this O-line because, unlike Marcus, he stays in that pocket and he's searching the field, but he's gonna take a beating if they don't do anything about this O-line. And my second question, I'll hang up and listen, are we going to see a large change in the offensive scheme? Thanks, Coach.
Hey, Kenny, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, and, you know, thanks for making the trip out there to Denver. I mean, loyal fans are outstanding.
Yeah, it's a great town.
No, oh, yeah, and the fans are great. I love Titans fans.
Yep.
Look, they're not going to change the scheme. That's why they brought Tannehill in here, because that was one of the reasons, is because they've got a quarterback that through 88 games of a National Football League career in Miami has done similar things, is able to do similar things. Now, what you would like to do, whatever your game plan is, you want to be able to perform it at a maximum level. That was not happening. Now, within the offensive game plan and the offensive scheme, Kenny, you always tailor it to what your quarterback likes. You know, now what Arthur Smith will do, they will get together and say, okay, here's the plan for the Chargers. After we've watched it, you've watched it. What do you think? What do you like? Because there's differences between what quarterbacks like to do and don't like to do, what they have major preferences on. He will have input on that. Mm-hmm. So to your point, will it be different there? Yes, it will be different because he will like different things than Marcus likes. All right. Yeah. But you don't just have to junk a complete, you know, your complete system. I mean, you don't do that because you've got 10 other people involved, and the offensive line is a group that, look, you've got those five guys are the best physically that they feel like they have up there. They've got to play better. I mean, the quarterback was changed, all right? But a quarterback change also puts everybody else on offense on notice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it does, because none of this thing happens in a vacuum.
Right. Everybody had a hand in this.
Well, yeah, that decision did not happen in a vacuum. The circumstances leading up to that decision did not handle in a vacuum. So everybody's got to take their part of it.
When you were a head coach and you guys are working on scripting those offensive plays, the first 10, the first 12, the first 15, whatever the number is, how much did you want? I mean, I would imagine that's your quarterback, your OC. Are they all involved with
yes,
that?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. All of it. And you do it, and you change that script throughout the week. I mean, you might say, this is a good idea. Let's look at it. And in practice, you go, nah, you know, this is not it. Or you find something that you really like. You say, okay, you know what we might do? We might could tweak off of this and do something else. But your quarterback is involved in it. I mean, just sitting right there with you.
Absolutely.
And let's say you have a script of plays, right? Everybody does. It's not like you go 1, 2, 3, 4.
No, you can't.
You're looking at the down and distance situation.
It depends on the game. It depends on the game. And most of the time what you do with a script, guys, I mean, of course, you know, Bill Walsh started this. You know, and so let's talk about what he originally started it for. Yeah. What he was doing with that early group is he would put the personnel groups out there and find out what the defense was employing against that personnel group. Down and distance personnel-wise.
So he wanted to see
everything. And then he had his counterpunches off of that, okay? Yeah. So if he put something out there and said, I think this is what they're going to do personnel-wise and scheme-wise, down and distance-wise, field position-wise against this group, if they do that, if they stay with that pattern that I think we've seen after we've broken down all of these tapes that we have and we've gone through, you know, all of the breakdowns, so now let's put it out there, let's see, and then let's start setting up plays. You don't just, you know, now the opener is something that you'd like to be able to hit, and they've done a good job with their openers. Now they've hit two big ones that had to be called back. Yeah. But I mean, but then everything else is basically predicated off of personnel groups, and then it's basically putting them out there to see not only for the success that you can have in that down and distance at that particular moment, but you're building something for counterpunches later on.
What was it like to face a Bill Walsh team?
When they first started, it was scary. Because the thing about it was, it was so different than what everybody else was doing, because with Roger Craig and that group back there and Rathman and then Rice and Taylor and Montana, I mean, they were so in sync with what they did. The thing that was most incredible, Mickey, get me telling these stories.
Okay.
We practiced against the 49ers for a week in Berlin when we played them over there. We were with them for a week. All right, so we practice against them every day. And just to watch the precision of that passing game in 7-on-7 and in team, and then to watch them before, I mean, I was loving it. And, of course, you know, clearly, I mean, I had the best linebacker group in the league. And we'd go 1-on-1 against them, and then we'd go 7-on-7. And I can say this, I think, without too much exaggeration, because I've got no reason at this point in my life to exaggerate. I mean, everything
you
I've done.
Got money and gas.
Yeah, I do. Everything I've done has been true. Okay, but if the football hit the ground once in 4 days, that was probably it.
Against that Bears defense, no less.
Well, but we couldn't go through them.
Right.
We couldn't hit them. You know,
right.
Finally, our guys started getting a little smoked up, you know. and so they, you know, they'd started tagging it a little bit. And then, you know, and then Walsh was going, hey, we don't do that. And Ditka was going, well, we do. And so, you know, but I'm just talking about the precision of that passing game. Pretty special.
Let's go back to phones. Tyrikus is checking in again this week. Hello, Tyrikus.
Celebrate good times. Come on. Celebrate, son. Hey, man, I'm so happy, man. Hey, y'all don't mind if I be Amy Smith one time, dude? Let me just be
okay, Vrabel, we're going to hire you because I want you to make Mariota the guy. I know you can make him. I don't care who you got to fire, who you got to hire, make him the guy.
And he finally went in the room and said, listen, Amy, we done been through 97 coaches, 97 offensive coordinators. He is not the guy. And when we do put people around him, he cannot complete a pass. He can't even throw a screen pass. But I'm hanging up, man. I'm so happy, man. Hey, drinks on me tonight, y'all. Drinks on me, man.
Wow. Let's save that call.
Tyreekus.
You'll have what he's having.
Okie dokie.
Let's take another shot at this with Alex. Alex, have you got a question or just phenomenal. A lengthy and phenomenal statement?
Yeah.
Dang, can we all go meet up with Tyreekus and get some of that?
I'm telling you, we just need to have a 3HL party.
I'm telling you.
Like, you just find a port somewhere, the weather's nice. Yeah.
I'm not sure that whatever Tyreekus is on is legal, but he got his hands on it.
Well, maybe he was in Denver this week.
No, he got his hands on it.
It was not an incomplete pass.
What's going on, Alex? You got a question for Coach Mack?
Yeah, Coach Mack, I got two quick questions for you about the quarterback situation. So, obviously, all offseason, there was all kinds of comments about the lack of continuity and turnover between four different OCs. My biggest question for you about the OCs is, did they do Marcus a disservice with the particular OCs? Because out of the four OCs he's had, three of them, and I'm including Terry Robiskie in this because it's been a while before he got it, were in their first years as OC. So what they're still trying to figure out how to be a play caller. Jason Michael was only in his second or third year, I believe.
Well, so Jason Michael wasn't calling plays, but yeah.
Correct. But you got young offensive coordinators still trying to figure out how to be a play caller in the National Football League, which, as you can attest to on the other side of the ball, Coach Mack, is not an easy task. And then the other question is about the offensive line. Can the play calling make those guys better? Is there a possibility in the National Football League, like in some college games, to run an offense and call plays where you minimize the need for those five dudes up front and take pressure off them?
Thank you, Alex.
All right, Alex, thanks for the call. You know, first of all, you can never minimize the need for those guys because, I mean, that's where it all starts, on offense and defense. You know, if I'm breaking down a game, the first thing my eyes go to is the two lines. Because at the end of the day, it's still a big man's game because you have to be able to protect, or you have to be able to impose your will by running the ball. Defensively, you have to be able to build a wall and stop the run and make the offense one-dimensional, and then you have to be able to go put the quarterback down. I mean, that's just the way the game's being played right now. Everything else is important, all the skill players, but, you know, you make a misnomer by saying that the offensive and defensive linemen aren't skilled players. I mean, they're just bigger skilled players. I mean, that's what that is. As far as the different coordinators, look, every coordinator that he's had has also had a staff with him. As a coordinator, you don't just make a decision, or you don't, as far as on philosophy, you don't make a decision on play calls, you don't make a decision on game plan by yourself. You do not do that. I mean, that's a little bit of a misnomer when you look at it. Now, if you've got a head coach that is the play caller, well, then that's the ultimate end of it. That's the ultimate end of it. And some guys that have made their bones by being play callers in the National Football League that evolve into head coaches, they don't ever want to give that up. All right. I don't think you can say that he's done a disservice, because I think everybody that has been hired since Marcus has been here has been hired with the intent to make him successful. All right. Now, whether it's worked or not, you know, that's clearly up for debate. You know, you can debate that all you want, but nobody has ever been hired in that position to say, you know what, we'll just hire this guy, but we're not quite sure it's going to work good, but we'll just hire him. That doesn't happen in the National Football League.
It is ironic that the first game that Marcus doesn't start, not because of injury, comes against the Chargers, and Kim Wisenhunt, the guy that drafted him, is on the other sideline.
Yeah, well, you're going to get a lot of those. You're going to get a lot of those coincidences in the National Football League because
everybody
guess what?
Goes everywhere.
Everybody goes everywhere. Yep. Yes. I mean, it's 6 degrees of separation. I mean, every time we get ready to broadcast a game and they give us the sheets of who's coaching here, they say, okay, Coach Mack, how many guys do you know or how many have you worked with? And I go through and it'll be about a dozen, you know, sometimes on both sides.
That's a crazy business you were in.
Yes, it is.
The struggles of this offensive line, though, is something that's really been talked about. With LaJuan, he was out for a month, and he's just coming back.
That didn't help.
So that's got its own thing. Roger Saffold said himself, hey, I'm used to giving up one sack a season, not two a game. His struggles have been surprising. They're playing a rookie at right guard. That's been a big storyline this year. They're spending draft money and draft capital and free agent money. It's just been hard to watch those guys struggle as much as they
have. Well, yeah, I mean, they've got to do better. They got to play better, and they've said that. And, you know, he asked a question about being able to help them. Well, you saw what the first plan was when we went up to Cleveland with all the max protect and the, right. and the pocket set up behind the tackle. Well, that worked. But when you're doing that, you've got to be able to be sure that you're going to win one-on-one when you put two receivers out.
Right.
Okay, when you put two receivers out in the route, you saw the same thing against Atlanta, okay? You were able to beat those people, you know, doing that. But regardless, and I can go through all the protections because I know them all right? But you go through 5-0, you go through 3-3, you go through slide, you go through max, you go through scan. Any of those things you go through, sooner or later, you've got to block somebody one-on-one. It always comes down, you never design a protection not to block anybody. Never has been designed, never will be.
Not too effective. All right, we've
seen a couple of those plays, though.
One more segment coming up with Dave McGinnis. If you've got a question for him, he loves to take your question. 615-737-1045. Again, 615-737-1045. We'll get you on with the coach. The AHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We should just have a camera that runs on us talking to Coach Mack in the breaks. We have some great discussions about everything from Big Jeff to Rashawn Evans, who's just hitting everything that moves. And
Coach,
as you said, he hits things and then they stop moving.
Yeah, Coach Mack does not need a camera on him. I love doing radio and I love talking to people in person. I don't need a camera.
Yeah, you got to get that flowing hair out there so people can see it.
Boy, Jayon. Well, Jayon needs to get well. He missed practice today, but Rashawn Evans.
Well, I mean, again, I cut my teeth on linebackers in this league, so my eyes go there quick whenever you get one or when I'm, you know, looking at the draft. And this kid, I love what Tyrone McKenzie and Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease have done with him. They've developed this guy, mm-hmm. and he is such a willing student. He loves ball. And you can tell, I mean, you can just tell, you know, I do a segment called, you know, Beneath the Surface, you know, for Microsoft on the Titans website and every week and we highlighted him this week because I was just so impressed just calling the ball game because I can see it, you know, when it happens. But his eyes and his eye discipline now and his reads, what he's doing in the run game are so good and so instant and so quick, and he's a sudden and he's a striker and because when he sets that foot in the ground and goes, I mean, when he pads them up, they're stopped. And so it's just he made that one play on that power O on that third and one. It wasn't even one. And when he gone up in there, I mean, that was, and I said it on the air, I said, that's full grown man play. And it was, that's the only way you can describe it. I love his development, what he's put into it, what these coaches have put into it with him. And he's going to be a really, really good player. And that whole inside linebacker group with he and Jayon impresses me too. I mean, he's in one of my favorites too, and of course, you know what I feel about their coach Tyrone McKenzie.
He's awesome.
I wanted that guy drafted here bad, but that's another story. And then Wesley Woodyard, I mean, so much respect, just much respect for what he does. And when he came in the ball game, when that groin slipped a little bit on him, when Wesley came in there, I mean, he didn't miss a tick. I mean, and he not only was in there, he was making plays, and he put that helmet on with the green dot on it.
I was going to ask you about that.
Well, Jayon's got the green dot on
right.
it. So when Wesley came in, he got the green dot, and bam, here they went.
But as a coach, sometimes you could worry about that transition, right? But not with Wood.
Not with those guys. Mm-hmm. Not with those guys. Nope. And this defense, and again, you look, you're only as good as your last outing. You're only really as good as your last play, your last series, but this defense, they've been holding up their end of the stick pretty well so far.
And dang, Brett Kern,
he's amazing.
He's just standing on top of the punt world right now.
He is amazing, and the things that he does. And I mean, I was here when we brought Brett in here. Mm-hmm. That's how long he's been here. I mean, I was here
10 years. His son's 10 years.
It was a baby,
and he was 6 weeks old when he got cut
yep.
from Denver.
Yep, and I was here when we brought him in, and you could tell then, but he has developed his craft so well. And I mean, and I told him this, you know, when I first came back 3 years ago, of course I'd watched him, you know, when I was gone, because I'd really like him, you know, as a person. And I told him, I said, you know, when I left here, you had about 3 clubs in your bag. Now you got 14. I mean, his bag's full. He's got every shot in the game.
Yep.
He did the show yesterday from Kings Bowl, and I said, how are you this good? And he just quickly answered, straight face, practice.
No, he practices.
Practice.
He works it. And again, I mean, he's, to me, I mean, I'd, That guy, you just don't, you don't even know, because you don't think a lot of times. But when you really start looking at hidden yardage in ball games and field position in ball games, this guy's the best.
How much will it help Ryan Tannehill to get work with the ones
a lot
this week?
It'll help him a lot. I mean, he knows the system, but a lot. I mean, you've got to work with the guys you're going to play with, so it'll help him a lot. But what also helps him too is he's started in 88 NFL football games. He started in 88 games, mm-hmm. and so that's. That will help him a lot, too. But it does. I mean, it's important to play with the guys you're going to be playing with,
well,
for real.
And also this year is the first time he's been standing on the sideline watching somebody else do it. How much does that help?
It does help a lot.
You know, a new perspective, right?
Well, not only that, but, I mean, especially when you're a guy that is as much of a pro as he is. I mean, he wasn't just standing there. I mean, he was participating. You know, he's participated in game plans. He's participated in, you know, in practice. He's participated in making this defense better, mm-hmm. as the guy on the scout team. That's as big a job as anything in the National Football League, because you've got to be able to work against one another, you know, to give the proper looks So, look, I'm just glad we got him.
Could that help Marcus if they need to go back
to
Marcus
absolutely.
At some point?
Absolutely, it does. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you have to look. There's stories throughout this league of this type of thing happening, and then the original starter being called back in, mm-hmm. and picking back up, and sometimes picking back up at a little higher level.
Let's take a couple more calls for Coach Dave McGinnis.
Yes,
he's brought to you by
callers.
Farm Bureau Health Plans. David in the Borough to lead us off in this segment. Hey, David.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
David, good. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. I got a question and a comment.
Okay.
My question is, why is Coach Vrabel getting a pass with the message going on with the team right now? And my comment is, for all the people that's excited about Tannehill, don't get too excited, because give him two games and he'll be bandaged up just like he had his whole career.
Well, David, first of all, I promise you, I've been a head coach in the National Football League, and I can tell you this with all honesty, and you know me, I'm always going to be honest. Head coach never gets a pass in this league.
Yeah.
There's that just does not come with the job title. And when you sign up for it, you know, as we all have done in this league, you know everything that comes with it. But getting a pass never comes with it.
And it's funny about Tannehill. He's got this label on him as always injured, and I know he missed the 17 season, and I know he's had some things.
Well, he had an ACL
the last couple of years, yes, but he started every game the first four seasons as an NFL quarterback, so there's that.
Yeah.
Say hey to Tim in the Borough next, Coach.
Sometimes don't ever let the facts get in the way of a good opinion.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim. Coach, I've got a question for you since you've been a head coach.
Sure, Tim.
I've noticed something with this staff and other staffs, too, that really kind of bothers me. And that's this philosophy of, hey, I want to give this guy an opportunity to rebuild his confidence, whether it's a kicker or a quarterback or whatever. I mean, I can understand that in high school and maybe even in college. But tell me what your philosophy is on that on the pro level. Seems like these guys are getting paid good money. We shouldn't have to worry about rebuilding their confidence.
Yeah, Tim, first of all, they're getting paid great money. I mean, I got paid great money to coach in this league. I mean, take the money aspect out of it. You know, still, anytime you're a competitive athlete, no matter you know what level you're on as you move up, confidence is a huge part of performance. And you're not only talking about the National Football League. I mean, you see it all the
Any
time.
Job.
You see it. Well, I'm talking about in professional sports. I mean, you see it all the time in the NBA. You see it all the time in Major League Baseball. You see it all. I mean, you know, confidence, you know, is something that comes from repetition, being successful with what you're doing. And there are times when you can get into a slump. Okay, now it's not a matter of fact that you need pep talks. You know, that's not what you're talking about when you're talking about building confidence. You're talking about, you know, being able to reset, to being able to refocus, to be able to go back to the fundamentals that got you where you were, and then putting those into practice and then being successful in competition. You know, that's what you're talking about when you're talking about resetting and rebuilding somebody's confidence. It's not about a pep talk, believe me. I've lived this for 34 years in this league. I've given zero pep talks. I've helped some guys get their games back straight.
Let's try to squeeze in one more phone call with Joe, who will wrap it up for us today with Coach Mack. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hi, Joe.
So, quick question. I have one thing I haven't heard anyone blame this whole situation on. And I'm going to say it's male ego and testosterone with NFL coaches, GMs, and just everybody. We keep, when you draft these players, these quarterbacks especially, that are not necessarily ready for the NFL, and coaches and GMs think they can coach them up and change what they've been doing their entire career from Pee Wee football to college football. And I think that's what happened with Marcus. They tried to change and make him into something he wasn't. And like the last caller said, it messed with his mind, his confidence. So doesn't the league and coaches have some of that blame in trying to mold players that are not, they haven't proven it on any level that could be that, if they think they can coach them and change what they are from what they've done their entire careers. And if you can name me some examples of players, quarterback positions that didn't have those tools early in their career, and then they were able to be coached and trained into a Pro Bowl or winning quarterback.
Hey, Joe.
I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you,
all
Joe.
All right, Joe, look, nobody's ever tried to, first of all, nobody's ever ready as a quarterback to come to the National
right.
Football League and just go. It's a different game than the NCAA, is number one. Now, when you're talking about changing, if you're talking about changing mechanics, you're talking about changing style, you're talking about you don't ever, and I've never been around any coach that's ever tried to change a player. You draft players because you draft their traits, and you mm-hmm. like their traits, and you like what they do. You don't try to change it. What you try to do is improve upon it, and then you try to adjust it. If there's something that's detrimental to their game, you try to do that. But playing quarterback in the National Football League is 100,000 times different than playing quarterback at the NCAA, no matter which level you play on. It's a different game.
Well, and Marcus had early success. In year two, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Marcus has been a good National Football League quarterback.
3,400
yards. He's won games. I mean, he's won games as recent as this year. Mm-hmm. So let's just not get that twisted as a fact that Marcus is a total failure. He's not.
You know who else has won games? Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Farm Bureau Health Plans are the best. Those people, I mean, you know what? I get texts from some of my buddies down there at Farm Bureau during the ball games and stuff. And I absolutely love it. Farm Bureau, the best. That's one of the coolest things that's happened to me since I've been doing this, is getting associated with them.
Well, we get to associate with you 2 o'clock hour every Wednesday. We love it. Coach Dave McGinnis.
Is that it?
That's it.
Thanks for all the callers. I love the callers. Fans are great.
Y'all come on back again next week. Ian Rappaport said to join us in about 15 minutes. He broke the news about Mariota Tannehill. Lots to discuss with him. Headlines when we come back.